Hey, what's up, folks? Alvin here. Very proud to be presenting you a series of conversations, observations, and just all around fun and an amazing time we had live at CrimeCon from our booth. We got some incredible interviews. It's pretty amazing what can happen when you just have a microphone in your hand and a crowd full of people. You elicit and pull out all kinds of incredible things. We interviewed Dr. Laura Petler, who was a speaker at the conference. We interviewed Cheryl McCollum, who I am just obsessed with. She's an incredible person and incredible energy. We also interviewed some incredible, just everyday people with amazing stories to tell. Fran, as a matter of fact, did an interview by himself for over 30 minutes, I believe. I'm really excited for you guys to hear all of these things. Now, I'm pretty sure these episodes are going to be split up into multiple parts, but I just wanted to do kind of an intro to let you guys know what to expect. I really hope you guys enjoy this. This was a labor of love. Thank you to everybody who supports us, everybody who had a hand in getting us to CrimeCon 2021 in Austin, Texas. I hope you guys enjoy this. CrimeCon 2021 update. There is a lot of main character energy at this convention. There's a lot of people who are very much like in the mind state of it's my world and you're just living in it.
Yes.
And I respect it.
Yeah.
A lot of colorful hair. Somebody wearing like a chiffon robe.
Yeah. Is that what it's called?
Yeah, that material that's kind of lacy but
that,
see-through.
That reminds me of Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah, yeah. It's got like a boa connected to it. And, and you don't even really wear it. You just kind of drape it over yourself.
Yeah.
I've seen there's women with, like I said, multicolored hair and just really cool outfits. This is a place where people, they're at a summer camp that they've been to before. Even though there's a lot of people who don't really know each other, they like have a kinship.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like they know each other from another life.
Yes.
And I'm enjoying seeing that energy. Yes. Also, here comes Iffy.
Shout out to Iffy. Shout out.
Oh, my God. Yes.
Of course.
The bob is asymmetrical. I'm loving it. She's giving me living single. She's giving me. Oh, my God. I love it. She's got a little earpiece wire hanging from her ear like she works for the president. I'm digging it. Iffy's killing the game.
Yes. Great.
Yeah, yes. We're good. Yeah, we're not live, but we're recording. Would you like to? Oh my God, Iffy, please. Would you like to step in? I know you have jobs to do. Okay, Iffy's too busy. So, yes, no, do your
thank
thing.
You. Thank
Iffy,
you.
Much love. That was Iffy.
Yes.
Iffy's awesome. Much love to Iffy. Just making sure we're taken care of and on the right track here at CrimeCon 2021.
Mm-hmm.
We will be back with more updates shortly.
Yes.
Hey, everybody, this is Dr. Laura Petler coming to you from CrimeCon 2021 in Austin. And I can tell you that we are having a great time here. Podcast Row is starting to fill up, and CrimeCon is opening with a huge video on all three stages, on two floors and three ballrooms. This is the place to be. It really, really is. And I've come across this table, Affirmative Murder, and met Alvin and Fran, right? And so now we're all hanging out.
Yes, we are.
We're all new friends.
Yes, we
and
are.
And we're hanging
Doc.
Out. Yeah, I go by Doc. And we're talking about my presentation tomorrow. So the presentation tomorrow is going to be really interesting. It's kind of a new kind of debut thing for CrimeCon. I am a retired professional musician.
Oh, cool.
And
what instrument do you play? The voice?
I'm a singer-songwriter.
I knew it. I could tell. It's the hair.
Singer-songwriter.
It's the hair, Fran.
And also guitar, piano player.
Wow.
But the Murder Room podcast, what makes it so unique is that I am also the composer of all of the music and perform it all for the podcast. Yes. And so with my partner, my musical partner, Monty Rogers from North Carolina. We're both from North Carolina. He's played for me for 18 years.
Wow.
Managed my tour back in the early 2000s. So I'm coming out of retirement here on CrimeCon 2021 stage, and I'm going to be performing live an original song from the podcast that drops this fall.
If you had to give yourself a musician that inspires you to give us a feel of what the doc is bringing.
My favorite artist is actually NF.
NF?
Yeah.
I don't know who that is.
The rapper, NF.
Oh, I'm new. Fran, make sure you put that down.
Nate.
Make sure you NF.
The
letter N and the letter F?
Yeah.
Oh,
NF.
My God, wow.
He sings a song called Clouds. I stay committed, embrace the rigid. I'm playful with it. Yeah, basically, too great to mimic. You hate your bitter, no favoritism. That's fine with me. Create the riddles, portrayed in civil, unsafe a little. Oh, yes, indeed. It's plain and simple. I'm far from brittle, unbreakable. You following? I'm Bruce Willis in the train wreck. I'm like trading in your car for a new...
NF Clouds, Fran, thank you.
Yeah, and he sings all... He is profound. And second to him is Billie Eilish.
Oh, she's great.
Because they're lyricists.
Love Billie Eilish.
And I love lyricists. I love people who look and feel their way through life and then put it into lyrics.
Poetically.
Then, yeah.
And find different angles on saying something simple.
Yeah, it's
I
just
love that.
Phenomenal. And so... NF, like I'm NF's
NF.
Biggest
yeah, look,
fan.
Yeah.
His last name
NF, friend. She doesn't need. We're going off of the abbreviation NF.
Yeah, he goes
NF,
by
yeah.
NF. Yeah.
Yeah.
And now, so he's like, I am like his biggest fan. He doesn't know that.
Yeah.
But his music is prolific.
NF.
NF.
Oh my God.
Clouds. And when he sings this song called Clouds, you know, I think to myself, this is like my life. Like his life as a rapper
yes.
has paralleled my life in so many ways with the struggle of being young,
yeah,
female,
yeah,
and all these challenges that we all have to move up through life
yes.
as we progress and develop and to make what we do heard and relevant to
absolutely.
other groups.
Yes.
So I love him. I just, like, I'm obsessed with him and
yeah.
his music.
It's a real skill to be able to... Yes, NF. It's a really good
you'll
ability
to... listen to it.
Oh, I will.
Friend,
listen.
You're going to love him.
Yeah, we're gonna listen to it tonight.
We're
going to rent some scooters.
I mean,
he sings
all kinds of different songs, but the one that I'm currently obsessed with that
Clouds.
I play just over and over and over is called
Clouds. We'll start with Clouds. Yes, Clouds.
Oh,
yeah,
it's phenomenal.
It's a way to kick it off properly.
It's phenomenal. So, no. You know, with any luck, at some point I want to collaborate with him,
yes.
you know, and write... together. I don't know if we'll ever have that opportunity. You know, we're gonna maybe we'll cross over, you know, we'll cross over and I'll cross over from television and my music and we'll do like this, you know, crossroads
yeah.
kind of idea.
Simpatico. You guys, it might be a match made in heaven.
Absolutely. So
now Doc, I don't wanna hold you up. First of all, thank you for giving us this much time.
You're very welcome.
Before you go, now you're a forensic criminologist
now, from yeah. Laura Petler and Associates, Death Investigations in Monroe, North Carolina, but we're international.
Yes. How many body farms have you been to?
Oh, none. I don't do that kind of I don't work those kind of cases.
So how do you...
I'm an expert in staged murder, so I saw...
Oh, wow, okay.
I'm the author of the first book in the world on crime scene staging, which is sitting down there at our booth if you
so
want
like
to
Gone Girl.
See it. Sorry?
So like Gone Girl? Like
yeah,
you
like
could walk into a room
staged.
And go, no, this is a fake robbery.
Anybody that kills somebody and then they make it look like something else, they make it look like a suicide, they make it look like some kind of legitimate murder, whether it's another type of homicide or something else, my team goes in there and we solve those murders.
Wow.
We
That's
have a
amazing.
98% solve rate with the murder room method.
Well, excuse the fuck out of me. That's amazing.
Yeah. It's really good.
Yes.
We're very proud of it because the United States has an average of less than 60% solve rate.
Oh, she's kicking the U.S.'s ass. Yeah.
It's not even close.
Yeah.
And so the more people that use the murder room, the more murders we're going to solve, the more justice we're going to get for victims, the more answers we're going to get for families. And that is why we do what we do. That is the whole reason. Every day of my life, that is what it's about. And that is why we're here. That is why we're all throughout the United States. That's why I teach.
Yes.
That's why I write. That's why I'm doing the podcast. It's why we do everything. Because the cold case epidemic in America is
out of control.
Yeah.
Backlog.
We're racking
up at least
6,000 more murders a year that go unsolved. But what about the ones that aren't ruled homicide? What about the ones that are ruled suicide? What about the ones that are listed as missing person? What about the ones that are ruled natural or accident?
Yes.
They're not being looped in.
They're just written off and pushed to the side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's not even an accurate number
yes.
of what we have.
So very true.
Unity. And the key to unity is diversity.
Absolutely. Yes.
The more diverse we are
yes.
and come together the more types of minds are working on these cases.
Different perspectives, yes.
Yes, and that's how they solve.
Absolutely.
That's what the murder room's about.
That's amazing. Now, this podcast is not out yet.
It is not out
yet. When will it be out? TBD?
Sometime, like, you know,
at
maybe
some,
the fall.
At some point it'll be out.
Let me tell you why, though. Let me tell you why.
Please.
This is different. Not only does it have an original soundtrack.
Yes.
Everybody in the audience is going out on the investigation with me because the lady that we're talking about, her name's Betty Newmar. She's got 5 dead husbands and 1 dead son. That's not normal. And that's called a clue.
Yes.
So in 2008, I got this case.
Call that a black widow sometimes, friends.
Yeah,
call that.
Yeah. So we're hunting the black widow, right? That's what season 1 is called. So she and I have been doing this, we can call it a dance, for the past 13 years.
Oh.
So it's time for
me
to take all of you with me out into the field and go out on this investigation with me.
Yes.
And you're going to see what it's really like to go out and work with me as I'm hunting a killer.
I am very much looking forward to that. I don't know. You can't give much more of a build up than that. I don't know how you top that. Doctor, so, thank you so much.
You're welcome. It's a pleasure to meet you, gentlemen.
One more time, if you could just let my listeners know. Instagram, whatever you got.
Yeah, so everything is under Dr. Laura Petler, DrLaura.
Yes.
P as in pineapple, yes. E as in Edward, T as in Tom, LAR.
I love when people do that.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, because everyone messes up my last name.
Yes.
So. But yeah, I'm super easy to find under Dr. Laura Petler at everything. There is my friend.
He's wearing a very smart blazer.
Derek Levasseur just walked in.
Derek Levasseur,
so
very smart blazer.
Very happy to see my friend. I haven't seen him for a while. But thank you. It's been a pleasure to be on your show.
Dr. Laura Petler, folks. You can't call her Doc. That's just something we
can
do.
Yeah, Doc.
So don't get cocky.
Alvin, everybody calls me Doc.
Well, don't ruin it. Thought I had
so it's special for you?
Yeah.
Okay. What's special for you?
Oh, this guy's popular. All right, I'll let you get back to your friend.
All right.
Thank
all right.
you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, folks, checking back in from CrimeCon 2021. Mm-hmm. There's a presentation currently happening in the breakout room 1. I don't know if that applies to anybody listening, but just saying. So there's a little bit of a lull. So I wanted to check back in with Fran. What are you thinking so far? How are you enjoying people coming up to the table,
the social aspect? It's been great. I like the people. We've met some new people.
For sure.
Shout out to the doc.
I mean, the doc, yes.
I know who she is by now, but yes.
Yes. She's doing a song.
It's been great, man. I've been having fun.
One interesting thing, though, is like, I don't know how to broach the, I'm like, do we shake hands? Do we fist bump?
Yeah.
Do we put arms around people when we take pictures? Mm. I don't know the social cues coming out of a pandemic.
Yes.
So learning to navigate that is day one. I think we'll have it figured out by day two.
Yes.
And a lot of interesting people. Met some cool YouTubers, some cool podcasters.
Yes.
Shout out to Stephanie Harlow and Derek Levasseur from Crime Weekly.
Yes.
And a lot of awesome podcasters and YouTubers and stuff we met so far.
Yeah.
And
they are coming out now.
There are people pouring out now. Oh my God, it's getting very intense. I don't know. did people come while I was upstairs taking a pish?
No.
Nobody came?
No. Nope.
Okay, well, they are pouring out.
A couple people, but you know, people just kept on walking.
Yeah. Well, they are pouring out now, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're here with Tony. Tony's from Delphus.
Yes.
And you were telling me about your son.
Yes. Okay. Our son, John Keith Bemis, joined the Navy in 2000 to make a difference.
Yes. Thank you on behalf of him, first of all.
Thank you. Yeah. In the world. And he was successful for 12 years. He became, he was on the Navy Marines Achievement Award twice. And he drove his ship, the USS Champlain, in Independence through the Panama Canal.
Yes.
In 2012. And also he was on the Sail of the Month in 2005 for saving his ship, the USS Independence, from starting on fire because of faulty machinery.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And in August 7, 2012, informed by the U.S. Navy that her son had died. And the Navy said that he had committed suicide, and there was a gun by his side, and he was found in his Spring Valley home in California.
Yeah.
And he was wearing a full-face motorcycle helmet during that time, and there's very little blood. And we've tried several times to get the Navy to investigate why we think it's a murder instead of a suicide, and they just can't see why we're thinking what they are, what we do, where we think it's a suicide. And we've had some help with a few individuals try to help us out.
Absolutely.
And I try to take pictures, you know, because some of them weren't very clear, and finding that there were homosexual slurs written on our son's body, on his military clothing, on his carpet, on his walls in his bedroom, bathroom, and living room.
Oh, wow.
On his hog, and on the gun that apparently was placed in his mouth.
Wow.
As well. And he was going to be married to some young lady and is from Tijuana, Mexico.
Yes.
In 2012. And we've had an investigator try to help us find out who could have killed him. The investigator thought that this was a murder, but he could not figure out why he would have done it.
Yeah.
And we've had some people that tried to find out this was a murder or suicide. We had a friend who's former Army talk to a coroner in Ohio, and the coroner thought it was signs of murder, so he tried to contact the military medical personnel in Dover, Delaware. The Dover, Delaware Medical Department then called Wright Patt Air Force Base in Dayton, which contacted the coroner to stand down, and they would destroy all evidence that of our son's autopsy pictures and photos.
Oh, wow.
And then our person that was trying to get everything started, our friend, he was visited by a federal government representative, and he was told that if he did not stop paying the flames, his son, who was in the Navy, would have a dishonorable discharge.
Oh, wow.
And then we had someone who tried to go through and serve as another type of investigator. He was a former NCIS agent, and he was told that if he did not stop getting involved, he would lose his job well as lose his security as well.
Yeah.
So there are a few people that were brave enough and kind of trying to help us out, and they were more or less influenced to stop helping us out as well. So this point in time, it's really torn our family apart.
Yeah, understand.
In terms of our family threads, and it's kind of hard to face all this that's going on, but we're trying our best.
Absolutely. Tony, first of all, thank you for sharing that story with us. I would love to at least spread awareness about your son's story on our podcast. People are going to hear this, but definitely we'll take some time and look into your son's story on our podcast on another time. I would love to do that. So if you could say your son's name one last time.
It's CPO, Chief Petty Officer John Keith Bemis, and he was stationed on the USS Independence. He was a suicide prevention watch person as well, and loved to help people out. He was going to get married to somebody from Tijuana, Mexico.
Yes.
He's been on several podcasts such as CatchMyKiller.com, Unsolved Mysteries, True Crime Files.
Oh, cool, yeah.
Well, so we're just trying to get a story out there so people can become more aware.
Absolutely.
Okay, Military Justice for All with Jen Norris.
Yes, yes.
She has been a big help as well. And Shanta Block, such as her sister was in Fort Hood, has been a big help as well. So we're grateful for all those and pray for all those that have situations that are similar like ours.
Wow, that's amazing.
I want to thank you for your time.
Thank you. Oh, so please. Tony, I would love to shake your hand.
Thank you so
much. Thank you so much for sharing that story.
I appreciate you.
Much appreciated. Yeah.
Thank you.
Thank you. Wow. Thank you. Thank you. You have a good one. Much appreciated. Oh, that was, wow. That was Tony. That was incredible.
Yes.
I don't really know what to say after that.
Yeah, you could tell in his voice that, you know, this has been like tearing his family apart.
It's a son.
Yeah.
Wow. Very powerful story.
I'm glad he shared that story with us.
Absolutely.
I'll definitely look into that story about his son.
Yeah.
That's just
John.
Unfortunate. And that's sad. And that's just
absolutely. All right. Well, we're going to check back in a little bit. Crime Con update. We just met a nice young, not young at all, nice gentleman with, he had a Crime Con exclusive hat on.
Yes.
And he had a bottle of Coca-Cola.
I thought it was Coke.
Yeah. And Coca-Cola. A dip in his mouth.
Yes.
Now, I don't judge people, but walking around with
Coca-Cola.
A bottle of spit, it's brown spit.
Yeah.
It's crazy. And you remarked that, like, what if you forget?
And drinks it.
And you drink your own spit, your tobacco spit. That and you also gagged while you did that.
Yes.
Yeah, it's a very interesting question, and I don't know, but I wanted to check in because he said one of the most profound things I've ever heard.
Yeah.
Fran, you complimented his hat.
Yes.
And you said, I like your hat.
Yeah.
And his response was what, Fran?
I needed a hat.
Simple.
Simple.
Genius.
Yeah.
I mean, I can't think of a better reason to wear a hat. It's because you needed a hat.
Yeah.
Not for a fashion statement, not to send a message.
Or I like hats.
Or I like hats, even.
It's
I just needed one.
I needed
the
a hat.
The sun is out. Needed a hat.
Yeah. He had a Crime Con hat.
Yeah. So he doesn't even really, I don't even know if he's here. Maybe his wife dragged him here. He might not even love Crime Con.
Probably not.
But he needed a hat.
Yeah.
So I just thought that was very profound.
Yes.
And, yeah.
Hello. Hello. How you doing?
Hi.
Pretty
good. Thank you for taking a card. I love both your shirts. They're very floral.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, very profound.
That is the theme here.
Yes. Yeah, a lot of flowers. You can tell who's here for who. Like,
yep.
I can tell when somebody's here for Nancy Grace. I can tell when somebody's here for like some kind of hipster podcaster or something. That
yeah.
They're here to hear them speak. I can really tell by the way they present themselves. Those two that we just popped by, they're Nancy Grace fans.
Yes.
Can
I say one thing?
Yeah, please.
I'm surprised.
Yes.
I know this is day one.
Uh-huh.
I'm surprised we haven't gotten anyone here specifically to see us.
I'm not surprised at all, man. But again, I think I've diagnosed myself with imposter syndrome, so I don't think anybody listens to this podcast. I'm always like, I don't know if people are going to like this. I don't know. That's how I feel. So
yeah.
I'm not expecting anybody to be here for us. So that's just my feeling. I appreciate your confidence,
yeah.
man. But I'm just here for the ride.
Day
you know?
Two, it will happen.
I appreciate you putting your stamp on that.
Yes.
We will check in with you guys on day two. We're going to be doing this every day.
I need another cup of coffee.
You need another cup of coffee?
Yes.
Okay, we're going to get Fran another cup of coffee.
Yeah.
We'll check in with you guys in a bit.
Yep.
Folks, we are here with
Michael Vogan from Authorum.
Michael Vogan?
Yes, sir.
And your name?
Udo.
Mike and Udo. So they were just breaking down to us what it is that they do. Mike, I would love to really understand what it is because you came at me with a lot of words.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to feel disrespected because I don't have the capacity. So I would
sure.
like to gain some of that capacity in the next 2 minutes or so
yeah.
for you to break down what it is that you do.
Sure. So Authorum, we built the first and only.
Authorum. Could you spell that?
O-T-H-R-A-M. Authorum.
Oh, Authorum.
We built the first and only forensic crime lab in the private crime lab in the United States. It's built from the ground up. Works exclusively with law enforcement. And so what we're able to do is take very small amounts of DNA and access information from that DNA that traditional methodologies can't access.
Oh, wow.
In the past, a lot of labs need 10 nanograms, 20 nanograms of DNA. It can't be contaminated or degraded. With us, we can have, as Udo was saying, a single source, we can do like 130 picograms of DNA and figure out who that may belong to, build a DNA profile.
If you had to put that on a scale, just to get people to understand the
15
difference.
15 human cells.
Oh, wow.
1-5.
Oh,
15
wow.
human cells.
Wow. Okay. Yeah.
And so our whole process is we do a lot of lab work. That's where the magic happens. Build a DNA profile that's applicable for the genealogical databases. And then a lot of our customers and law enforcement will take that profile, go do their own genealogy. We can help them with it as well if they need it.
Okay.
But it's becoming, you know, genealogy has been around for 20-some years. A lot of people do it, and a lot of people are very good at it. The key to doing good genealogy is having a very good DNA profile from which to work.
Got
and
it.
That's what we do.
Even with a little bit of DNA.
Even with a little bit of DNA.
Wow. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, well, you guys are very youthful. You guys have a very youthful logo. I feel like you guys are coming in with that young Facebook energy, you know,
young
Zuckerberg energy,
the
shaking
Zuckerberg
up trailblazing.
Of DNA.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, young trailblazing energy. I appreciate you guys informing me of those things.
Of course.
And wishing you guys great success. Are you guys here, like, to promote?
We're here just to meet people. So we have a website called DNASolves.com.
Okay, DNASolves.com.
DNASolves.com. And that's where we can talk about cases that law enforcement has given us permission to discuss. We put cases that we've solved there that they've told us that we can share those. And then we have cases that we're crowdfunding. There's a lot of cases out there that come from agencies that have zero budget for advanced DNA testing. But that's the only thing holding these cases up from being solved.
Yes.
And so we said, well, hey, we got a lot of followers on Facebook. We got a Facebook group called DNA Solves Advocates. Feel free to join that.
Absolutely.
And you'll get all our updates of what we're doing at Authorum and DNASolves.com.
Awesome. Authorum. Udo.
Mike.
Mike, yep.
Mike, you guys were awesome. Thank you so much.
You bet.
And I'm definitely going to check it one more time, the Facebook group and the website.
DNA Solves Advocates is the Facebook group, and the website is DNASolves.com.
Awesome. You guys go check that out.
Yep.
All right. So Dr. Pelter is returning. She's brought a guest. We are here with Melissa.
Melissa Moore.
Melissa Moore from the Happy Face Podcast.
Yes.
First of all, Melissa, it's a pleasure to meet you.
Nice
It's a very nice jacket you have on.
Oh, thank you.
Why don't you tell us a bit about Happy Face and also life after Happy Face?
Yeah, so Happy Face follows my journey of discovering my father was a serial killer.
Whoa. Okay. Oh, yeah. Hold on. Wait. Okay. Wow. Okay. All right. Melissa Moore. Who's your father?
The Happy Face serial killer.
Oh, my God. Okay. Duh. Okay. Wow. Yeah. So I'm guessing Happy Face, you have completed that chapter and are now moving on to
life after Happy Face. Yeah.
Wow, what is that like to? I mean, well, I don't want to go into. I don't want to.
No, we're cool. We're cool. We can talk about anything.
What made you? I'm sure it took a long time for you to be comfortable just owning that and speaking. You know,
yeah,
like
so
what?
My father was arrested. He was captured in 1995 when I was a freshman in high school.
Wow.
So it broke the news, and then he was dubbed the Happy Face.
Where are you from?
Washington State.
Oh, so like it's close-knit community?
Well, I would say not so much because he was a long-haul truck driver, so a lot of his victims were across the United States, mostly in Portland, Oregon.
Yeah.
That was where he's centered. That was the hub. But people knew, I mean, the news was all over the place. Like, he was dubbed the Happy Face serial killer because he would leave smiley faces with clues and bathrooms, and then he would send letters to the media telling them, you know, here's where you could find her wallet, here's where you can find her Walkman, things
wow.
like that, clues.
Now, and stop me if this is a weird question. Would you say that you felt like that type of precociousness was something of your, was he like a prankster?
Just a jackass.
Oh, okay.
Smug?
Sure.
Yeah. So, like, in court, to give you an example, when he was arrested and he was on trial, the son of his last victim, Don Finley, he went to court to defend his mom, you know, and then my dad turned around and winked at him.
Oh, wow.
So, I mean, that's what I mean by
so it's not it's not like yeah. a... What it was pure smug that all the it wasn't like oh I'm rambunctious
yeah.
So it didn't like transfer over to in the house he'd hide the cereal or something and
no like the way he was as a dad he was actually really charismatic he was a boxer he was a cyclist very athletic he was 6'6" he's still alive he's serving multiple life sentences in Salem Penitentiary
wow
and then now we're all adults my siblings and I and we've
how many siblings do you have
two others. And we just have moved on with our lives. But, I mean, this is kind of a life sentence for all of us. Like, we're not ever going to outrun that title of being related to him. And so, for me, it was about changing my legacy, changing the meaning of what it meant to me. And so
Taking control.
Yeah. So, I started working in true crime and working on cold cases. And I started working a little bit on my dad's case. But mostly I focus on cold cases and other family members of serial killers. I work with them because there's a huge stigma. I mean, you hear the apple doesn't fall far from the tree. And so how do you break out of that identity?
So would you say that's something you faced and you're like...
Oh, absolutely. Like just people saying when I was married, they would say, you know, to my former husband, don't you sleep with one eye open? Because if there's this DNA factor, like people think, like, is it genetic?
It could just kick on at some point. Yeah. Wow.
I actually ended up on the podcast. You'll hear that I went to go get a PET scan by Dr. Fallon, who's also a psychopath.
He's
an interesting story.
Yeah.
So Dr. Fallon, he studies the minds of serial killers. And then he had one of his colleagues to do a blind study put in other brain scans of non-serial killers. And so they ended up taking one of his brain scans and putting in the pot with the serial killers. And he's like, hey, you know, all of these are serial killer scans or psychopath scans. And so he discovered that way that he was a psychopath.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the idea that that's like a thing you can just casually call yourself.
Yeah.
That feels like that has a stigma on it as well.
Well, it does.
But he's just clinically a psychopath.
Correct. And that just means he's just hardwired differently than we are. His brain is hardwired differently. So a lot of surgeons are...
Yeah, lack empathy.
Because they can't have it.
I mean,
if your patient's going to be dying on the... Like, they can't go home and cry.
That show Scrubs is bullshit. That dude JD is always like, I care about this. But no, a real surgeon is doesn't give a shit. You gotta. It's mostly fake because you. I mean, you gotta cut into people and.
Yeah.
You know,
and
yeah.
They have to go home and like leave work behind.
Yes.
And if somebody died, they can't be going on the drive home sobbing, you know, and thinking about their family. They have to go home to their family, and so there's compartments, that, you know, where they put that work goes in a box. You know.
That's a tough one.
Yeah.
Okay, so life after Happy Face, is that where in Happy Face? I'm assuming you focused on. Your dad's story, or you also?
Yeah, my own story and my dad's story. And then with Life After Happy Face, I partnered up with Dr. Laura Petler.
Yes.
Who you just met.
Yes.
I've been working
met her early. I call her Doc. We're cool.
Okay.
Yeah.
Me so
and I call her Dr. Pet.
So I work on the Dr. Mm-hmm. Oz show. And so I brought
oh, cool.
her on the Dr. Oz show as a criminologist. And so she gave her expertise and we formed this friendship.
Yeah.
And so I have her. She's my co-host, and so she brings the forensics, the doctor's perspective, and I bring the story perspective
yeah.
of people who have lived with a killer
yes.
or survived a killer
yeah.
or knew a killer, like innocent bystanders.
Yeah.
You know?
It's like you yeah, exactly. And you have an education that you can't get at a school. I mean, nobody
yeah.
can just learn what that's like to have that personal experience.
Yeah, it's a different yeah. type of experience.
Yes.
And so when I'm interviewing different people that are related or survived, I can speak from that point of view. And Dr. Laura can absolutely speak on the forensics and explain the mind of a killer in a different way, in a forensic doctor way.
Yes. Now, is Life After Happy Face currently out, or is it coming out?
It's coming out. So we have the trailer out right now.
Yes.
And
Life
so
After Happy Face trailer.
Yep, and then it'll be coming out at September 10th.
Oh,
yeah.
Awesome.
So it's just taking a little while because what I'm actually going to do is talk to my dad for the first time in prison.
Oh, wow.
And so I want to actually have that conversation, that face-to-face with my dad.
Is that a personal thing or that?
It's a personal thing for me.
Okay.
And so I actually wrote him a letter, and he wrote me back, and so there's been some correspondence, so I'm going to dive into that for
sure.
the first part of the podcast when we start.
So are you going to be bringing a recorder to the conversation or just talk afterwards?
Well, I'll record our phone calls.
Got it.
And then I'll also talk about afterwards, like
yeah.
our face-to-face
wow.
meeting when we eventually have that.
And that will be on in the Happy Face timeline.
Yeah, Life After Happy Face.
Oh, that's
yeah.
going to be on Life After
yeah,
Happy Face. Oh, wow. Okay, wow. So you're going to do that, and then that's going to be part of Life After Happy Face.
Yes, correct.
Life After. Got it.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I got it. It's yeah. clicked. It clicked.
So my question was, back to when you said that he was captured when you were in high school, how did that, as you was a freshman in high school,
yeah.
how was that time between you was in high school as far as dealing with everything that was going on?
Because, like, my maiden name is Jesperson, so
okay.
his name is Keith Jesperson, and I was Melissa Jesperson, mm-hmm. and so in school, everybody was talking, whispering, and then parents are like, I can't believe my kid could have been around a serial killer.
Right,
like, of
right.
course. Like, I'm a mom now, so I know what those parents are now thinking, but when I was a teenager, it just felt like I was guilty by association.
Right,
you know, like,
yep.
Oh my gosh, well,
yes.
something's wrong with me, you know?
Yeah.
So it was really difficult. I ended up changing high schools, and I just hid for a long time until probably around 2005. I started facing, you know, my questions about my dad.
Yeah.
And then I ended up going on the Oprah show.
Oh, wow, really?
So I wrote a book called Shattered Silence, and I went on the Oprah show, and that's what changed my life, meeting Oprah. And then all of a sudden, media outlets just kept coming forward and wanting to ask me questions, and then I started working in the media.
Yes. Now, I've been told Oprah smells like new money. would you say that that's an accurate description?
Her shoes, yeah, her shoes are bomb. Like, yeah. She took them off right away. They looked uncomfortable. The
yeah.
red bottom.
Yeah, oh, yeah, right. I'm sure. Oh, I'm sure the red bottoms get pretty uncomfortable.
Right,
yeah.
because there's a French pronunciation that's proper. Louis
Vuitton. Louis Vuitton. Louis Vuitton.
I always say Louis Vuitton, but
yeah.
that's not right.
I don't have enough money to know how to pronounce it correctly at all.
if you go to Saks Fifth Avenue, they'll correct us.
Yeah, sure. They're like, first of all, you don't know how to say that. Yes. Yeah. It's like that scene in Showgirls.
Oh, really?
I don't know if you've seen Showgirls, but they're like, that's a nice dress. She's like, oh, thanks. It's Versace.
Oh, my gosh.
And they're like, oh, yeah, Versace. Nice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you bumpkin. But Melissa, thank you very much for sharing that story. I can't wait to hear Life After Happy Face. And are you doing podcast row, or are you just here soaking
up the...
Yeah,
I'm at the end near Nancy Grace over there.
Oh, man. So. Prime real estate.
I guess so.
She
yeah,
has not
I'm
graced
lucky.
Us with her presence.
I worked a little bit with Nancy Grace. She's fabulous.
Oh, my God. Wow, awesome. Yeah. Well, I would love for you to just plug anything else that you'd like to plug before you get out of here. I don't want to hold you up any further.
No, thank you. It was lovely
yeah.
to meet you guys.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, first of all, Life After Happy Face, September?
September 10th.
And
Friday.
Happy Face is currently available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Yeah, and they could go on Instagram, follow us on Life After Happy Face if they want to.
Yeah, what's your Instagram? Whatever. Yeah, yeah.
Life After Happy Face Instagram. Yeah. And then if they want to be a Patreon, that would be amazing because we're going to give executive producer credits, shout out.
Oh, wow.
To people who are supporting the podcast. So.
Absolutely. Yeah, yeah, check out her Patreon. Also, is this jacket custom made before you get out of here, or is this?
No, this is Free People.
Oh, man, yeah, Free People. Shout out to Free People. The jacket is quite dapper. Melissa, thank you very much, and we'll be checking out those projects for sure.
All right,
awesome. Thank you.
Affirmative Murder is brought to you by My Life in a Book. With Mother's Day right around the corner, I just know you guys are thinking about a truly special gift for your mom. But let me tell you about a pretty priceless gift. MyLifeInABook.com. It's a unique service that turns your mom's life stories into a beautiful book that you could pass down from generation to generation, which I think is a pretty awesome memento to leave behind. Here's how it works. Every week, MyLifeInABook.com will send her a question via email. These can be pre-written questions about her life or any custom questions that you want to ask. Your mother or the mother can either type her response or record her voice. MyLifeInABook.com then compiles all of her responses into a beautiful keepsake book. And guess what? They can even create an audiobook using her voice recordings. It would be like preserving her voice and her stories for all of eternity. Your mom's giving you a lifetime of stories, and this is your chance to give her a way to share them. I'm in the middle of my MyLifeInABook.com journey, and I'm really excited to see how it turns out. I've been asking some pretty thought-provoking and funny questions, and, you know, I'm excited to see the response, but I'm also just excited to have the physical book in my hands and know that I can look back on it in 20, 30 years. The interface is super user-friendly. The questions are super easy to set up. It's a breeze of a process. So what I need you to do is check out MyLifeInABook.com. That's MyLifeInABook.com. And use code AMP, that's A, M as in Mother's Day, P, at checkout for 10% off. Create an unforgettable gift for the mom in your life this Mother's Day. One more time, that's MyLifeInABook.com. Use code AMP for 10% off today.
CrimeCon 2021 update. Fran and I are here. We've been here for several hours at this point. We've
met a lot. Hungry.
Getting a bit hungry?
Yeah.
What would you eat if you right now if you could eat something?
Right now?
Yeah.
I want some tacos.
Oh, they have plenty of those, my friend, in Austin, Texas.
I really want some tacos.
You can get a taco just about anywhere, my friend. But anyway, we've met some very interesting people, had some very interesting conversations, some intense conversations.
Yes.
What has been the highlight for you so far, Fran?
Meeting the Smiley Face Killer's daughter.
Yeah, Melissa Moore, that was a very interesting conversation. She's a very powerful person.
Yes.
For me, it's still meeting the gentleman who's trying to get his son's murder solved or suspected murder. I don't know the details of that. Mm-hmm. I haven't done any research, but he believes his son was killed.
Yeah.
And that's a lot of weight to have on your shoulders.
Yes. You can hear his voice, man.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, yeah. He almost got me choked up with some it was a very powerful story. But no, talking to Melissa was cool. Talking to Dr. Petler, she was super cool.
Shout out to the doc.
She's singing a song tomorrow.
Yes.
Shout out to the doc, and really looking forward to that.
Yes.
And CrimeCon 2021 is very interesting. I'm really enjoying it. Meeting some really interesting and cool people. Like I said, there's a lot of main character energy here. I like it. I like people. Yeah. There's a lot of individuality. I don't know how many people dress like this at home. You know what I mean? I feel like there's a lot of like,
if
I'm breaking this out at this.
Yeah.
I don't know if they're walking around with this level of confidence at home. And if they do, God bless them. But I don't know. I'm
a lot of floor pattering.
Yeah.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Oh, like yeah. White women love flower patterns.
Hmm.
You can get it at Target. You can get it at Ann Taylor Loft.
Hmm.
You can get it at L.L. Bean. A lot of floral patterns. I like, there's a woman that's standing in front of us that's very vibrant floral patterns, like a pastels,
mm-hmm.
pastels and flower, double whammy. But yeah, CrimeCon, man, we're checking in every once in a while just to give you guys the updates on what's happening.
Yeah.
Like I said, we have a lot of cool people come in and out, and it's been a really interesting time, and this is only day one, Fran.
Yeah.
We got two more days of this shit,
mm-hmm.
and we are running low on pop sockets. I'm sorry to the Patreon members listening to this. I don't think y'all are getting any of these pop sockets, man. They aren't making it home.
Gone.
They're not making it back to Baltimore for us to ship them out to some loyal Patreon listeners.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry. All love, and we appreciate you guys.
Yes.
But these things are going like fucking hotcakes, man.
I got one in my hand. Nobody's getting it.
Yeah, you got it on like it's a ring pop.
I mean, it looks fashionable, doesn't it?
It does. It looks like a boss ring, like you're a mob boss.
I might wear it all. I might wear the whole
pod
weekend.
Boss.
I might wear it. I might use it as this.
It is great marketing if you did that. You walk around with just our logo on your hand.
Yes.
But anyway, folks, CrimeCon 2021, we're going to check.
Hello, how you doing?
Yeah, great.
Pretty good.
Great. Oh, from who? Where are you from? Oh, I love it.
I love that.
Oh,
accent.
Man, that voice, it sounds like gravy.
Yes.
I love it.
I love that.
Yeah,
accent.
Yeah. Yeah. Are you a speaker?
I am a speaker.
Oh, my God. What is your name?
Cheryl Mac McCollum.
Oh, my God. Somebody told me. This is Cheryl McCollum. You worked with 9/11 or you set up.
Is.
Yeah, you set up space. I wasn't really. Somebody gave me the rundown and was like, you got to check out Cheryl McCollum. Give her the microphone, friend. First of all, thank you
for
so
my
much.
First song.
Yeah. Oh my
I'd
God.
Like
oh my God. It's just so buttery.
Come here.
So it's like
the greatest
it's like
voice
velvet.
In true crime?
Please.
Come here, sugar.
Don't if she's gonna hype you up like this, don't say anything until she gives you the microphone.
I'm telling you, the greatest voice in true crime.
How are y'all?
Oh, that's clear
butter.
And bassy.
Straight butter.
Straight butter, baby. I'm the Barry White. Of true crime.
Oh, I like that. You got to put that
true.
On the shirt.
It's
you got to put that on the shirt.
That's Dr. Joseph Scott Morgan.
Oh, my God.
Death investigator for the medical examiner's office when we were all in Atlanta.
Oh, wow.
And our prosecutor was Nancy Grace, no less.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, I don't know what ever happened to her. She was a good kid.
Yeah, I'm sure she made it out okay.
I figured she
did
all right.
I'm sure she's doing fine. Sure.
But, yes, I did respond to 9/11. I was in charge of the National Crisis Response Team that responded to the Pentagon.
Yes.
I was in charge of the Crisis Response Team for the Olympic Games in Atlanta, which nobody would have cared anything about, but we ended up having a bombing.
Yes. So I watched Richard Jewell.
Yes.
Love that movie. Is it BS? Was he intricate in that situation?
Richard Jewell did nothing wrong.
Okay, yes. Nothing well, in the wrong. Movie, they're like, not only did he not do anything wrong, he saved a bunch of people.
He saved a ton of people.
Okay, awesome. Okay, that makes me feel good because I love that story.
He saved a ton of people and later became a police officer in Sonoy, Georgia. So I got to deal with him later on in life when things got a little bit better for him. So that was really good, too.
Because he went through a hard time there.
It was railroad.
Yeah.
That's all it was to it.
Yeah.
It was a scapegoat that should have never happened.
Yes.
You know. But we do a lot of cases with the Cold Case Investigative Research Institute.
Street team.
Street team,
promo.
Baby.
Yeah. 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 Yeah, we've
seen
yeah.
Listen, in my world there's two types of people. There's investigators and there's confidential informants.
Oh, I like that.
So we got both shirts.
Yeah.
So if you're not an investigator, we got something.
Yeah, you got something on the, in the tucked away.
Yeah, I don't believe in snitching, but I do believe getting paid for shit you know.
Cheryl, I love it.
Oh, I'm sorry. Can I say that on
you can say whatever the hell you want to.
But I mean that's the thing.
Yes.
Right? I mean if you've got solid information, you should be paid for it. So I believe in using CIs. I believe in it. You know, but we have a great time. We've got some wine down there.
Oh, you got a booth too?
We do. We have a
wait,
booth.
Wait, so you do a podcast?
I do a few podcasts here and there.
Oh, sure. You guest on them or you have one?
On them.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Right.
What can we expect? I don't want you to give away the spiel because I'm going to come check you out, obviously. But like, what are you here to speak about?
All I heard was a young, attractive man say he was checking me out. Thank you, baby. Isn't that what you
is that me?
Said? I'm going to check you out.
Oh, okay. I was like, did I say that? Sometimes I don't remember what I'm saying half the time. Yes, I did. Yes. Yeah. Oh, no. I just didn't know that I said that. Yes,
this
I did.
Is a comedy
I did.
Thing. Come
I
on
did.
Now.
I did say it and I meant it, Cheryl.
Oh, thank you so much.
Cheryl,
tonight,
yeah.
Tonight I've got an actual cold case that I'm going to let people help me solve.
Oh, wow. Where
that's the way I do
where
it.
In there?
Yes.
What time is that happening?
8:00.
Oh my
8
god. Oh my god. I'll be
so
there.
So the way we do it, I use the general public to help me on cases because anybody can solve a cold case.
Yeah.
And everybody has an avocation or a vocation.
Yes.
They have information I don't have. They
absolutely.
Have knowledge I don't have.
Different set of eyes on it.
So we've got a young African-American female that was shot twice and sexually assaulted and left for dead.
Oh, wow.
And 9 years later, another young African-American female was sexually assaulted but survived, but the DNA matched.
Oh, wow.
So we got to find this guy.
Cheryl, oh, my God. 8:00? Oh, my God. We got to check Cheryl out at 8:00. Thank you so much, Cheryl. Oh, my God.
Love
see you guys. See you guys tonight at 8.
She was awesome.
Yes, very awesome. What did he say? He's the Barry White of true crime podcasting? That's a fucking great name.
I tried to do it. I can't.
You can't just do that. You have to have that.
I can do what I want.
All right. Well, we're going to check back in with you guys in a little bit after that sassy comment from Fran.
So we're here with Mr.
Raymond Romero.
Raymond Romero. Okay. Uh-huh. And you said you were what?
I happen to be a survivor from the most prolific serial killer of our time.
Wow. Now, can you tell me a little bit about that?
Sorry?
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I was a bar owner, and I was also a drug dealer at the time that I met this guy. He was introduced to me by a partner who said that if we ever had any problems, he knew a hitman who could help us with our problems. And I said, okay, but he never told me who he was. And one day when I was closing the bar, he brought him in to play a game of pool with me. He didn't tell me who he was. He just says, hey, Ray, this is Richard. And he heard you're a really good pool player, and he'd like to play a game of pool.
Yeah. Now, was this already set up, or was this did he come in uninvited? How does that?
No, he came with Bill, my partner.
Oh, okay, got
they
you.
They were riding together.
Got you.
And so I said, well, Bill, I said it's like 2 a.m. and I'm so tired. I've been here 18 hours. I want to go home.
Right.
He says, just play him a game of pool, and then this guy Richard comes up. He says, yeah, I want to play you. I hear you're really good. And I said, I'm one of the best in San Diego. And he goes, well, I'm pretty good too. Just play me a few games.
Yeah.
And my partner Bill was kind of signaling in behind, you know.
Oh, really?
Head and everything. And I said, okay. So he wrecked. And I broke. I sank a few balls and missed on purpose. Well, he got mad because he could see that I missed it on purpose.
Oh, okay.
No, you could have made that. And Bill kept waiting behind, like, take it easy on him, take it easy. I kept trying to, but the guy wasn't that good. So I finally beat him in that game.
Okay.
And then he racked again. And he says, play your best.
And
I said, okay. And Bill's waving again, saying no, back off.
Yeah.
I don't know what to do, so I broke. And I left the guy with 2 balls. And he was getting mad at me. He goes, play your hardest. And then he racked again. He says, I've never lost 3 games to anyone.
Really?
Yeah. And so I was thinking, well, you're not that good. I don't believe that.
Right, right.
So I said, I got to get home. So I broke and ran the table.
Didn't
get a shot. And it upset him. He comes up to me. He's a big guy. He comes up to me and grabs my cue stick and shakes it. And then he grabs my hands. He says, you know what? You're a cocky kind of guy, and I like that. And then he looks at Bill and he tells him, I'll meet you out in the car, Bill. And Bill is laying in one of the booths that we had at the restaurant.
Yeah.
Laying back on the seat. And I go up to tell him, hey, Bill, what was that all about? He says, you remember that hit man that I told you that I knew? I said, that was him? He says, yes. And he doesn't like to lose, and he likes to erase his mistakes. So he's probably going to want to kill you.
What?
I said, Bill? I said, what are you doing to me?
Right.
You bring this guy in here, don't tell me who he is, and I beat him in pool, and he wants to kill me?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go try to talk him out of it. And I go, oh, thanks a lot. So this is what started the whole thing. That's how it was introduced to Richard.
Yeah.
And then the next day, Bill calls me up and says, listen, I talked him out of killing you. And I said, great, thanks a lot.
Wow.
And he says, but I have to go up to Seattle with him for a month. So I'll be gone for a month. Can you handle things? And I go, yeah. Okay.
Well, now, was he doing that at his own will, or that was... Was he doing that at his on his own will, or was he making him go with him up to Seattle? How was that?
The guy was making him go
making
up
him go.
With him to Seattle.
Wow.
And they were gone for about a month.
Mm-hmm.
And so while they were gone, I got in trouble with a guy at a bar. He says I disrespected him and that I was going to have to make it up to him. And then his friend, who was a guy named Big Danny, said, Ray, you made a mistake. And I said, what? That guy's a punk. And he goes, he's the secretary of the Hell's Angels here in San Diego.
Wow.
I'm like, really? He doesn't dress like him. He's got his shorts, his pants,
right,
and everything. And that's because he's the front man for the Hell's Angels.
They
do a lot of protective stuff, like big names that come here to San Diego.
Yeah.
They go in the back and they keep people out and all that, and they're intimidating and people don't mess with them. So he arranges contracts for all the big names that come here.
Wow.
And so he has to dress kind of nice and everything.
Right.
Okay. So he says, I don't know what he's going to want, but he's probably going to want to kill you. And I'm like, again? Somebody killing me for nothing? Comes to find out, in order to keep myself from getting killed, he started extorting money from me.
Wow.
And all that. So when Bill come back, I was waiting for him. I told him. And Bill says, how much have you paid him? I said, $2,500 so far.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, he wanted some drugs, so I got him a half ounce of crystal and all that.
Yeah.
He said, well, we can't allow this to happen, you know. If the word gets out, this will ruin us.
Mm.
But I got just the person to take care of this for you.
Yeah.
And guess who he brought? Richard, that hitman.
Wow.
And Richard came and he says, tell me your story. And I told him, he says, I'll take care of this for you. And I said, well, what are you going to charge me? I said, I don't have a lot of money. I've been paying this guy and blah, blah, blah. And he goes, let's just say I'll do you a favor and you'll have to return the favor at a future date.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
And that's how I got to meet him.
Wow.
And he took a liking to me. And to return the favor, he wanted me to help him run his drug business.
Wow.
He was importing with the Colombian cartel tons of drugs into San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And he had a 15,000 square foot warehouse full.
Wow.
And he wanted me to manage.
Manage it.
Yeah, the incoming and the outgoing. I had to catalog everything, weigh it, make sure it was right.
Wow.
Make sure it was going to the right places, Chicago or wherever. And then, you know, catalog what was coming in and all that.
Yeah. So track of it all. So you had to do that on top of owning a bar.
I'm sorry?
So you had to do that on top of owning a bar?
Yeah.
Well, wow.
He wanted me to stop working at the bar.
Oh, okay. Got you. Got you. Okay.
He was going to pay me and everything.
Mm.
And I said, look, if I get busted with that much drugs, I'll never see the light of day.
Right.
And that's where he gave me one clue to this story. He told me, as long as you work for me, you'll never have to be worried about being arrested by the police.
Mm.
And I said, why not? Let's just say I did them a favor and they owe me.
Wow.
That favor, I found out later when I researched, was that he killed a prostitute that was going to turn in all the police for having sex with her and this, that, and the other, and it was going to cause them either loss of job or maybe criminal charges and all that.
Mm-hmm.
And when they found out she was turning in their names to the district attorney to prosecute them, they had this guy, Richard, kill her.
Kill her. Wow.
And so now guess what? They owe Richard.
Right.
And so he has free reign, and they're protecting him. And while he was killing all these people and women in San Diego,
they was turning the blinds eye to it.
They were helping him.
They help? Okay.
They were keeping him safe.
Wow.
They were complicit in all the deaths and murders.
Wow.
Supposedly, when they died, he raided his locker, and they found over 300 men, women, and children on Rolodex cards.
Oh, my goodness.
With their names and pictures.
Wow.
Of the victims, because usually serial killers keep pictures or some trophies
right.
of
right.
the victims.
Yeah, exactly, yep.
And that's what he was doing.
Wow.
And I remember one time he took a picture of me.
Yeah.
Polaroid. So guess who was next on that list? Me.
Oh, my goodness.
He's going to kill me, my wife, and my children.
But that's crazy.
I told him, I said, no. How much money is a hitman? I mean, you can't be doing a job every month.
Yeah, yeah.
And all that. So how do you make money? He goes, I sell snuff films.
Snuff films?
Yeah, do you know what a snuff
no, film is? No, I don't. What is that?
It's a movie made of someone being bound and tortured and eventually killed.
Oh, my goodness.
And he would sell them for
$10,000. $10,000?
Yep. He would get somebody like you or me, tie us up in some basement that he had or whatever.
Yeah.
And then he would have a camera running, and he would make us plead for our lives, cry and whimper.
Oh, my goodness.
Cut us.
Yeah.
Choke us. Torture us. And then eventually kill us.
Kill him, right.
And then he would take that tape and sell it.
For $10,000 apiece.
Yes, that's what he told me. He didn't tell me he was making them. He told me he was selling
them. He was selling them. Wow.
And then I said, well, you know what? Bill tells me you're a hitman. He said, yeah. I said, so you've killed people. And he said, yeah. I said, what does it feel like to kill someone? He says, like turning off a light switch.
It's that easy.
Yeah. I said, no remorse, no worries or cares
nothing.
About it? No. And I said, wow. I said, well, besides the money, is there another reason that you kill people? He goes, yeah. is, Ray, I've done so many evil things in my life that I know I can never go to heaven.
Mm.
And since I'm going to hell, I'm sending my father in hell as many souls as I can.
Wow.
So that when I get to hell, he'll give me a position of authority.
Wow.
Hence the title.
Yep, Soul Stalker, yeah. Wow.
And I'm like, wow. Okay. And he says, and it's my father in hell that protects me. He gives me protection. I'll never get caught.
And that's what he believed.
Pardon me?
That's what he believed.
Yes. His license plate, the number was 666.
Wow.
We had pagers at that time. And everybody, when they paged you so that you would know who was calling you,
yeah,
had a code at the end of it. They would put the phone number down,
mm-hmm,
a space, and then a three-digit code. Mine was 111. Richard's was 666.
Wow.
Because he always called for phone booths, and you,
yeah,
wouldn't answer it if you didn't recognize the number.
Oh, okay.
But with that
so
code,
but with yours, he knew it was you.
Yeah.
Wow.
And so I didn't know what to do. I didn't want to work for him. But he told me if I didn't, he was going to kill me, torture me, and kill me. And then later he told me, before I kill you, I'm going to kill your ex-wife and your two children. And there's,
wow,
nothing you can do about it. And then my girlfriend, who now is my wife,
yeah,
he was going to do the same with her.
Wow, really?
And then I decided, for the only the second time in my life, that I had to kill this guy.
Yeah.
There's only two people that I ever wanted to kill.
Mm-hmm.
The first one was when I was first married. My wife ran off with a guy,
mm-hmm,
and I was going to go after him and kill him.
Yeah.
But I didn't. This time, I felt there was no other recourse, but I had to kill him.
Yeah.
My partner, Bill, heard about it, and he came to me and said, Ray, you can't kill him. I said, why not? He owes the Colombians $750 million.
Wow.
And if you kill him before they collect,
they will come after you.
Take on his debt.
Oh, my goodness. So they will come after you.
And then they'll come after you, your family, and your kids, and you'll have gained nothing.
So they was just trying to wipe out every. They was just trying to wipe out the whole family.
Yeah.
Wow.
So that's part of the story. There's much more.
Much more? Wow. Wow. So, yeah, so tell us, because, you know, this is, I mean, this is not live, but we will put this on our podcast.
I can't hear you.
We said we will put this on our podcast. So just tell the listeners, you know, a little bit about your book and where can they get it.
This book talks about the most murderous serial killer of our time.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Richard. You don't hear about him because the police helped him, so they're complicit.
So does he have a last name? What's his full name?
His full name is Richard Allen Sanders.
Richard Allen Sanders.
If you look him up on Google, you add serial killer next to his name. Otherwise, it'll come up with a senator or something.
Okay.
You know, it comes up with different people. But if you put Richard Allen Sanders and add serial killer next to him, you'll come up with a lot of information about him.
Okay.
Such as this. This is some of the stories.
Okay. Do you have a picture of him?
Huh?
You have a picture of him in this? A picture?
A picture? No.
Of him?
I've never taken a picture, but I have something that looks close to him. This is somewhat what he looked like.
Gotcha. Okay. Hmm.
He was a little thinner, though, but he was still a big man. 6'4", about 240.
Whoa, okay.
Very strong.
Yeah.
And he kept his beard and everything trimmed. He looked close to this.
This is interesting, because I've never heard of this guy before.
No.
I've never heard of this guy.
The cops had kept it hidden.
Right.
Because if they researched it, opened it up, and find out that they were complicit,
right,
in assisting him killing all these people, they get criminally charged.
Yeah, I bet,
so
yeah.
They're keeping it a cold case, but I called it a frozen case.
Yes.
Because they're never opening.
I like that.
They'll never,
I like that.
It. I'm the only one that knows about it, that has the information. And I'm putting myself in danger.
Wow.
Because I went a few years ago to San Diego and talked to a lawyer,
mm,
who represented the first victim from this guy.
Yeah.
Her name is Donna Gentile.
Okay.
She's the one that was going to turn them in for having her as a sex object. And the cops got arranged Richard to kill her.
Wow, yeah.
Okay. So now they have to help him. They're complicit in all his murders.
They have to, yeah.
Yeah, otherwise they're going to be charged,
they're
with
done,
murder,
yeah,
just like him.
Yep.
And they don't want this out. So when I went to talk to that lawyer, his name was Douglas Holbrook, he put me on his radio show. He has one of those public broadcasts.
Okay.
And he put me on it. I told him it was dangerous because they could possibly come after him, the police, for doing this and all that.
Wow.
And he says, no, no, no. And I told him that when they confiscated everything that Richard had, one of the ways that he killed people was with cyanide. He used cyanide to kill them.
Yeah.
And it causes a heart attack in people, but they don't detect it because they don't look for drugs. If
Oh, really?
Yeah, if you just keel over and have a heart attack.
Yeah, it's just it's a heart attack. It's just, that's it.
Yeah. That's tested, and you have to test specifically for cyanide.
Oh, okay, got you.
So it was a good way for him to kill.
Wow.
And I told him about it. He said, oh, I'm not worried about it. A year later, he was dead of a heart attack.
Wow.
I may have the same fate. I'm not sure. They don't want this to come out, so I'm risking my life.
Yeah. So, I mean, how do you deal with that? How do you deal with that daily that, you know, you out here putting that story out?
Because I'm a Christian, and I believe that God protects me.
Gotcha, okay.
And all they'll do is send me to my father sooner.
Right, okay.
You know, but so I'm not worried because I know where I'm going. I'm going
right.
to heaven.
I commend you for doing what you're doing. And also getting this story out there. I'm going to definitely look into this story. Where can they buy the book?
Right here. I have one with me.
You have the book?
Huh?
You said you have a book with you.
I brought six of them with me.
Okay.
Just to give a sell them when I need
yeah.
it. Waiting for the shipment to come in. And okay. It never came in.
Right. So, I mean, can they buy it online? Can they?
They can look on my website. Not a website. It's my Gmail.
Okay.
Because I can't afford a website.
Got you. So they can email you that a book orders.
Yeah, they can contact me on my website. It's Romero, Romero, books, the number 8, at Gmail.
Okay.
And they can send me the information. I'll ship them a book for $25.
Okay.
Plus $3 shipping costs. And they will have the book and I'll autograph it.
Okay. That's great, man. I thank you for, you know, taking some time out to talk to me about this story.
Yeah.
So I will definitely. I've never heard this story. So
nobody has.
I've never heard this story. So I'm definitely. I will. I want a book. Okay. I definitely want a book. So I'll just have to. I'll have to email you.
Yeah, I have a book with me.
Yeah. Okay. Oh. Oh yeah. For sure. Yeah. So again, I commend you for coming over here talking to me about the book. So guys, I want you to make sure you contact Mr. Raymond Romero. About the Soul Stalker. I mean, that's a crazy story,
Romero,
man.
Romero.
Yes. Yes.
And you know, if you need to ask questions, you can call. You can send me an email, and I'll do the best I can.
Okay,
to
great,
them.
Great. I mean, because I would love to do this story on our episode.
If you
on one of our episodes.
Story, fine.
For sure.
And you can contact me. I'll give you my phone number. Not
great.
Else.
Okay.
And
I appreciate you, man.
Contact me, and we can get together. If you want another podcast. You know, I can show you a lot of things.
I
know,
appreciate that.
I'm this killer.
Yeah.
And I have witnesses to it. I have his sex slave that he had for years under his protection.
Wow.
And she's so distraught of what happened, what she had to go through.
I bet.
And I have my partner, Bill, that's the one that introduced me to him.
Yeah.
He also has information, and he was up in Seattle with him for a month.
Wow,
were they
a
doing
month.
Up there? What were they doing? He came back a changed man, a crazed man.
Really?
I think Richard either talked him into doing some killings with him, or he watched him do some killings.
Yeah.
He came back crazed. He was a different man. I didn't think it was Bill anymore.
Wow. So he came back a totally different person, not the person you knew.
Like he'd gone through something traumatic and everything.
Wow.
And so he has a lot of information about Richard that I can, if we do a research.
Yeah, because he was with the guy for a month.
He was with him for more than that. He knew him for years.
Wow. Oh, okay.
So he can give us a lot of information about
him.
He can, if he wants to, you know. I have track of where he's at.
Okay.
I have other people that's were involved with Richard. Like
yeah.
I had a roommate, a female roommate.
Mm-hmm.
And in order to get information from her about my family, because he didn't know where my family lived, wife, my ex-wife and children.
Yeah.
He took her and drugged her up. And one morning she came in after a weekend of being gone all weekend. And she came in a crazed woman.
Really?
She was screaming and yelling, he's going to kill us. He's
oh, my goodness.
I said, who? She's trembling. He's like, he's going to kill you. He's going to kill you, and I'm getting out of here.
Oh, my God.
She was from New York.
Yeah.
and she didn't even quit her job.
She just disappeared?
She came and got a couple of things, put them in her purse. She was running off. I said, where are you going? I'm going back to my home state. I don't want to die. I don't want to die.
Yeah.
And apparently he had gotten her to reveal, because she knew where my boys lived.
Okay.
And all that, because after that he told me, I know your address, and he gave me the address of my boys, and that's what scared me even more.
Yeah.
She ran. She left her car at the airport, said it was mine. She left all her belongings and her furniture.
Wow.
She didn't even call her boss to tell him that she quit. She just jumped the plane and got the
and got out.
Town.
Wow.
I haven't heard from her since, but I know where she's at.
Oh, wow. So you still haven't talked to her at all?
No. I made a couple of attempts, but she didn't return the call. Mm. She's still afraid.
I bet.
So afraid.
Wow.
I've never seen anybody so scared.
Wow. You know?
And then I have other people that he tried to kill. Another friend of mine. He was going to send her up to Seattle to meet his partner,
mm-hmm.
Gary Ridgway.
Okay.
Who confessed to a lot of the murders up in Washington State, but he didn't do them by himself.
Mm.
Richard was the leader. Mm. Ridgway was the pawn.
Oh, okay.
And he would send her girls from San Diego.
Yeah.
And he plead a deal to stay in Washington and just get life without parole, because if they put the charges on him from transporting women for death and
mm-hmm.
all that, he would go federal and they would kill him.
Oh.
So.
Wow, man.
That's why he pleaded guilty, and he was cooperative and everything, because he didn't want to die.
Wow. That's one hell of a story, man. I commend you for out here telling the story and had time, take time to come talk to me.
I have the proof. You know, I lived the story. It nearly killed me.
Wow.
You know.
Yeah, but man. So thank you for talking to me. I appreciate you, man.
I appreciate you taking
No problem, man.
All right, CrimeCon 2021 check-in. Fran
yes.
has just done an exclusive interview
yes.
with an old man that looks like the Dos Equis man or Colonel Sanders. and apparently it was a riveting interview. I was distracted by a man who was talking to me about barbecue
yeah.
for 25 minutes conservatively. Anyway, we just got an exclusive life hack from somebody that came by and wanted to introduce themselves and take a card. Our card has a QR code on the back.
Mm-hmm.
For those of you unfamiliar with QR codes, you scan it with your camera phone,
yeah.
and it takes you right to whatever link you tie to the QR code.
Yeah.
She goes, oh, man, that's so cool, QR codes. I've been actually meaning to get a QR code, a bunch of them printed out, so I can put it on my TV so that guests, when they come to the house, can scan it, and it will give them the Wi-Fi code. Fran, my brain exploded.
Yeah. How did they? I don't know how she set that up, though.
A QR code, you can make it to link to anything.
Anything.
Yeah. So you can just make it, you can just make a hyperlink that's just a blank screen with the code on it.
But then you gotta make a website, right?
I don't really know the intricacies of that kind of stuff. But
it sounds a little more difficult, complicated than it.
Yeah,
than
but
it.
We don't know shit about shit, so that's I don't know. I barely knew how to make
easy.
The QR code.
Know.
I had to get the dumbest app possible that was like made it super simple.
Hmm.
But I just thought that was a genius idea.
Yeah.
So that was a big gem that I took away from CrimeCon day one.
Yes.
Maybe the biggest gem of the day. I mean, we've had a lot of cool interviews, but nobody's giving me a fucking life hack.
Yeah.
Everybody's being fucking stingy with those life hacks. So thank you to that mystery lady who came by and told us about possibly putting a QR code
yes.
on something. Because you never, you know, when somebody asks for the Wi-Fi, you got to go turn the router around. It's a 11-digit code.
Yeah.
I don't know that offhand. And she's like, no, QR code. Boom.
Yeah.
So I thought that was genius. We will check back in when we have any new life hacks or any new interviews done by Fran exclusively.
Yes.
Stay tuned. CrimeCon, day one. All right. Well, that's it from CrimeCon Live, day one. I hope you guys enjoyed it. Thank you again to all the incredible people that stopped by our booth. We heard some incredible things, some funny things. It was just a really cool day one. The next installment of this will be both day two and day three combined. On the third day, we got a really cool interview I'm looking forward to you guys hearing, so that'll be out soon. Until next time, thank you once again to everybody who supports this podcast and made this whole trip possible. And, you know, we are where we are because of people who support us, so it's greatly appreciated. Catch you guys next time.